Hello, welcome. We're going to discuss free cash flow valuation and how to value firms based off their free cash flow and how to value a firm's stock based off their free cash flow. Now, free cash flow is the cash flow available to all suppliers of capital. So anything that we have left over that we can pay down using debt or pay down our debt or anything else, the free cash flow will do it. So the free cash flow is the operating cash flow minus the net fixed asset investment minus the net current asset investment, right? So our net fixed asset investment will be, okay, what is fixed, right? Debt payments, right? Notes payable, long-term debt, right? Our financing on our plant, property, and equipment, right? Net current asset investment. What else is there? So we have potentially purchases of stock, right? So our net current asset investment or our inventory or working capital. So our free cash flow will be our operating cash flow, our total operating cash flow from sales, investment opportunities, and financing opportunities, subtracting out the net fixed asset investment and subtracting out the net current asset investment. So we're going to look at valuing the firm. So we want to take our free cash flow, project it out how many years, right? So you can see the sigma or the E is standard for summation. We're going to add the values up. So you're going to have free cash flow 1 plus free cash flow 2 plus free cash flow 3, as you'll see in the example that we are about to portray. So equity value, valuing the price of the stock, the free cash flow. The T stands for time period, so free cash flow 1, free cash flow 2, free cash flow 3, divided by 1 plus the rate of return required raised to the time, or if it's period 1, period 2, period 3, etc. Then we'll subtract out the value of the debt, and then we'll subtract out the value of the preferred stock. So this is the constant growth free cash flow valuation model. So we are going to compute the firm value and we're going to compute the equity value. So first we'll begin with the firm value. Notice we have free cash flow 1, free cash flow 1 for period 1. So we have the rate of return that's required, subtracting out the projected growth rate of the free cash flows. So you can see it can be otherwise written as free cash flow 1 equals the free cash flow from the period prior times 1 plus the growth rate of our free cash flow. Equity value, as we just discussed, same thing. Free cash flow 1 divided by the rate required of return and growth of our projected free cash flow, that rate, minus the value of the debt, minus the value of the preferred stock. So let's run through a free cash flow example. These are the metrics that we're going to use to define this equation, work it out, and solve the problem for firm value and equity value. So let's look at this. Step 1. We want to calculate the present value of the free cash flow occurring from the end of 2018 to infinity, measured at the end of 2017. So we're going to project out in perpetuity the value of the firm, right, using the metrics from 2013, 14, 15, 16, and 17. So we're going to use those metrics to project out our future cash flow growth and our rate of return. So we'll see, right? Let's go to our equation. So we've got the value of free cash flow 2017 to perpetuity, right? So this equals, what is our free, let's look at it, what is our free cash flow for 2018? Well, remember, we defined the free cash flow 1, which for 2018 we're solving for, is free cash flow 0, which is the period prior, which would be that we need to find the free cash flow of 2017 and multiply that times 1 plus the growth rate of the free cash flow. So what do we have here? What was the free cash flow in 2017? Right? So the free cash flow of 2017, if you'll see on column 2 at the bottom, it is 600,000. Okay? 600,000. We're going to divide that by the rate. Right? So let's see what the rate is. The rate will be 3%. Now you'll see in the column or in the row 2013, and it says other data, it says growth rate of free cash flow beyond 2017 to infinity is 3%. So they're going to project out that 2018 through infinity is going to be 3%. So now we've got the growth rate here, right? So we've got 0.03. That's 3%. And then now we have the rate of return, 9%. If you look at the weighted average cost of capital, 9% is our return that we need, that is required. Our cost of capital, our average cost of capital, that is a blend of equity and debt financing. How much does it cost us? Our average cost of capital is 9%. So say our return, our debt interest rate is 12%, and our return to our shareholders on the equity is 6%, and on average that gives us a weighted average cost of capital of 9%, depending on how we are distributing our equity financing and our debt financing. But for this example, the cost of capital is 9%, so in order for this project to move forward, we cannot make anything less than 9%. That way we'll be at least break even and we won't be losing money. So for this example, we'll use our average cost of capital as our required return rate. That's 0.09. So we'll always signify percentages as a decimal, right? So two place decimal, 9%, 3%, okay? 0.1 would be 10%. So as we calculate this, you can see that the value at the end of 2017 equals 10,300,000. Now step 2, we want to add the present value of the free cash flow from 2018 to infinity to 2017 free cash flow value to get the total cash flow in 2017. So as we're projecting this out, we see that total cash flow for 2017, we're going to add back in the 600,000, the free cash flow of 2017. We're going to add that into our firm value, right? We're trying to find the value of the firm. So the value of the firm at the end of 2017 we projected was 10.3 million. Now, the total free cash flow, right, the total value, after we add in the 600, we'll have 10,900,000. So now step 3 to finding the value of our firm. So we need to find the sum of the present values of the future free cash flows, or the free cash flows for 2013 through 2017, to determine the value of the entire company. So now what we're going to do is we're going to find the present value. So we can go back and we can find the free cash flows for the periods 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17 in column 2. So those were our free cash flows at the end of those periods, 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17. So now we are going to project out the present value of each of those periods, add them together, and that is going to give us the value of our entire company. So we're going to go back through, and so to find the present value, so let's go here, say present value equals free cash flow, and whatever period it is, period 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so we'll just represent that with a T, representing time, right? Divided by 1 plus the rate of return, or our weighted average cost of capital. So now we're going to go through, we're going to project out the present values of these future cash flows to find our value of the firm. So let's look back at cash flow 1, 2013. The free cash flow, $400,000. So you'll see $400,000. So the value of our company equals $400,000 divided by 1 plus 0.09 raised to 1. Why do we raise it to 1? Every time that it's a period, a different period, we're going to raise it by that period. So, for example, $450,000 was our free cash flow in 2014. We're going to divide that 1 plus the growth rate, or the required return or the weighted average cost of capital, then we'll raise it to 2 because it's period 2. So we'll raise that to 2. Now, we're going to add this. So for period 3, it's $520,000 divided by 1 plus the growth rate, 3. Running out of board space, so we'll go here. Plus $560,000 for period 4 divided by 1 plus weighted average cost of capital will give us 4 plus. So now for 5, you'll see that we are going to use $10,900,000 as our total free cash flow, because we're projecting that out for 2017 as the total free cash flow, and we'll need that number to make sure we can project out 2018 accurately, right? So this will be our calculation for the entire value of the firm. So we'll go $10,900,000 divided by 1 plus the weighted average cost of capital raised to the 5th, right? So now as we'll solve, we'll go, so we equal, so let's run through this real quick. 400,000, so we're going to add 1 plus 0.09 and raise that to the first power. So this number won't change. 1 plus 0.09 raised to the first. This cash flow will be 36,972. That's the cash flow, that is the present value of this 400,000 that we'll need to add up to give us our value of our firm, to give us the total value of the firm. So now the next, for period two, our cash flow will, our the present value of cash free cash flow from period 2 is 378,756. And we'll add the present value of period 3, 401,535 plus 396,718 plus 7,084,252. We add all of these together, add all of these present values together to find the value of the company. The value of the company, after all present values have been calculated and added together, 8,628,234. This is the value of our firm based off of the free cash flows that we have acquired over the period 2013 to 2017. So now we're just using those free cash flows, finding their present value, adding them together, and now we're getting the total value of the firm today, because all those cash flows are taken to a present value status. So this is the present value of those future cash flows, right? So now our present value of the firm, 628,234 firm value. Now, let's calculate the equity value, our price per share. I'm going to erase this. Okay. Now, let's discuss finding the equity value of our firm. So, we can see that to calculate the value of our common stock, we are going to, the value of our stock equals the value of our company minus the value of the debt minus the value of preferred stock. So we will take our firm value, the 8,628,234. That's our VC. That's our company value. So we've got 8,628,234. Now we'll subtract out. Now we'll subtract out the value of our debt. So you can see the market value of our debt is $3.1 million. Under the other data column in the 1, 2, 3, third row down, $3.1 million. So we got minus $3.1 million minus $800,000 for the market value of our preferred shares. It is the fourth row down in column 3. Market value of preferred shares minus $800,000. So now our value for our stock is 4,728,234. To get that number, we just did the simple math. 8,628,234 minus 3.1 million minus 800,000. So now we're going to take, this is our base price, right? This is the value of our total common stock, right? This is the owner's equity, if you will, divided by, see, so we've took out our value from our, right here, minus the debt, minus the equity, right? So that gave us our owner's equity here, right? So now we're going to divide this, because we have 300,000 shares in the market. This is our firm value total. This is our owner's equity. We have 300,000 shares available in the market to be sold and bought. So now we want to calculate our price per share. So that's why we're dividing this number by this number. This is our total value. This is the total number of shares available. So we want to find out the price per one share. So this is our price. These are our number of shares. The price per share, 15.76. Now, financial managers, portfolio managers, market investors, they'll go through this valuation process to figure out if the market value is greater or lower than this value and make investment decisions based upon the value they find on free cash flow valuation. Right? So the 1576, if the stock price in the market is trading at 1250, as an investor, I would probably say, hey, let's buy that. I think that that stock price is undervalued based on the analysis of their free cash flows and the constant growth model. So, but if the market price based on free cash flows, let's say, is $17.50, don't buy that stock. Move on to another investment because it's overvalued.